We don't know their names, but they're famous. We don't know what they did, but they were guilty. It was on that night that they drug their crossbar through the streets of Jerusalem. They made their way to a garbage dump outside the city. Their feet were bound together, a nail driven through their ankles, their arms stretched wide on the crossbeam, and a nail driven through their wrist. They are then raised up, and the beam drops, and both of these men are in excruciating pain as they begin the death process of crucifixion. But they look next to them, and they see this man who is Jesus. They see this Jesus and a sign above his head that says, King of the Jews, and people are circling this Jesus like dogs looking for scraps. They are dividing his clothes up and mocking him and spitting at him. And in the midst of all this terror, they look into the eyes of this other one, Jesus, and they see pain in his eyes. They see the excruciating reality of the crucifixion in his body. They look at his back and they see that his body had been ripped to pieces by a cat of nine tails. He's naked on a cross, and it's humiliating. These two men, we don't know who they are, but we know that they are guilty. In the midst of all of this, Jesus on the cross, as everyone's mocking him, he says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus, speaking to the crowd, is offering forgiveness in the midst of everyone crucifying him. We see the love of a Savior toward his enemy, offering forgiveness on the cross. But the camera then zooms in on one of the criminals, and the criminal says, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." He's saying, "Aren't you God? Prove yourself if you're really God. If you're hanging on the cross, take yourself down. If you're big, strong, almighty Yahweh hanging on a cross, take yourself down." You see, this criminal knew he was in trouble. He was in a desperate state. He was in pain and suffering and difficulty. And in the midst of that, he's wrestling with God, literally there with Jesus. If you really are God, then, do you ever say that in the midst of your trouble, your pain, your suffering? If you're really God, then take this away. To the point of even blaming God at sometimes. If you really God, why do this situation so bad? As though God owes us something. As though the God of the universe deserves to do something on our behalf because of something in us. No, the reality is, this criminal, as the camera zooms in on him, is rejecting Jesus. Jesus doesn't respond to his cry out to him when he says, "Oh, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us." But in actuality, Jesus is responding. He's responding by being on the cross and remaining on the cross. He's responding to this first criminal who's kind of mocking him by remaining on the cross and dying for his sins and the sins of the world. So the camera pans out and now pans on to the other criminal. This criminal might have grasped in some way when Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Maybe it's as though, like the Puritans used to say, the same sun that hardens the clay melts the ice. So maybe it's the words of Jesus hardened the heart of the first criminal, but the same words that Jesus is saying has said to this one, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Maybe this has melted his heart. Maybe this has softened him. And his response was, "Don't you fear God?" He looks at the other criminal and says, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward that is our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. He's like, hey, dude, we deserve to be up here. We committed a crime. We are guilty before Pontius Pilate, and we are paying the price on the cross, being crucified for our crimes. But this one, Jesus, he's not guilty. He's done nothing wrong. You see, this criminal seems to get Jesus in some measure. He's like, we're getting what we deserve, but he isn't. But the reality is, Jesus is paying their penalty on the cross for their transgressions, their sin, their rebellion. They are guilty for their crimes, just like we are guilty against God because of our sin. The writer of Isaiah says, we are all like sheep who have gone astray. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, for we have all sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. You see, the criminal saying, we're guilty, and the reality is we are all guilty. And Jesus is not guilty, but on Jesus was paid the iniquities of us all. He was paying the price for all of us because he had no penalty to pay. For the wages of sin is death. And Jesus on the cross as the guiltless lamb is paying the price as the spotless lamb. He's taking the guilt upon himself. And this criminal sees that in some measure. What we deserve, Jesus endured on the cross on that night. And this criminal, as he says this now, pleads and desperate says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He knows something about this Jesus. He doesn't know everything, but he pleads, would you save my life? Would you bring me in as your king? Would you bring me into your kingdom, into paradise? He says, would you remember me? And Jesus, as the man cries out, and the camera now zooms in on Jesus, and Jesus responds to this criminal, and he said, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Your life is saved. Your guilt and your shame are taken away forever. You will be with me in paradise. That's not if you do this. That's not if you do something else. He says, today, grace and mercy upon you because of what I'm doing on the cross and paying the full penalty. This is amazing grace displayed on the cross, and no one is too late to come into a loving relationship with Jesus. He is the God of chances to come to him, to run to him in our time of need. Do you trust this Jesus? Have you rejected him like the first criminal? Or have you received him and said, Jesus, I understand you are guiltless, but you are paying the penalty. Would you save my life and receive him as Lord and Savior? The writer Paul says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Have you rejected the gift, or have you received the gift? And if you've received it, do you rejoice over the cross and boast only in the cross of Christ? And only do you rejoice, but do you continue to run back to the cross? Because Jesus paid it all, that we can't do anything in of ourselves to pay anything. So do we rejoice over the cross, and do we continually run to the cross? Because we so easily forget the cross of Christ. And we need to remember. And it's on this night that we remember the glorious goodness of our Savior crucified for us. And the reality is, he instituted the night before he was betrayed and went to the cross, he instituted a meal at the Passover so we would remember this. So take a few moments, gather your elements that you've gotten together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, the communion. And let's be people who rejoice over the cross and run to the cross and let's remember the cross. So take a few moments, get your elements, and we'll come back together and we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together to remember the glorious goodness of the cross of Christ.